This is the 433rd episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, the podcast from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that gives you everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. I'm D. Orlando Ledbetter, the Falcons beat reporter for the AJC, and we're going to title this episode, The Battle for First Place in the NFC South, the Atlanta Falcons versus the New Orleans Saints. If you're listening to us for the first time, please make sure to follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
All right, we're back here from break, and we're going to get right to it. A lot is going on with the Atlanta Falcons, 4-6, getting ready to play the New Orleans Saints, who are 5-5. It's going to be a battle to win the NFC South. The Falcons are going to have a shot to win the division. If not win the division, it's going to be a little harder to get to the playoffs via the wild card, as they already have a 3-4 record in the NFC. So here we go. Let's hear from Coach Arthur Smith as he's going to give the ball back to Desmond Ridder. He was named the starting quarterback again on Monday to start against the Saints.
A couple things, you know, we talked about it before Arizona, that we would assess everything coming off the bye. Obviously how the game went. Des did a nice job having to come back in that game, gave us a chance, situation where it's at, and so we think that gives us the best chance. And on top of that, you know, Taylor won't practice a week. We got to assess throughout the week to even see what his role is going to be on Sunday, and so we'll just have to monitor that as it goes. But we've got a lot of confidence in Des. We think the last couple weeks he's handled it really well. A lot of things going on, and I think the reset will be very beneficial for him.
Well, you all know the background there. Desmond Ridder was benched at halftime during the Tennessee game. They alluded to something going on, a self-concussion check. And then it was discussed about the variables. But, you know, he's leading the league with 12 turnovers. So, you know, we'll just bottom line it until they want to come out and tell us if something more was to it. So, you know, they set him down. Tyler Heinicke scored 20 points in the second half, the most that they've scored in a half this season. He couldn't follow that up with two good games, and they lost to the Vikings and the Cardinals. And then over the bye week, they decided to return Ridder to the starting lineup. So that's the background here on what happened, what transpired here in the season, and helped the Falcons get to this 4-6 record. Here's Coach Arthur Smith on Desmond Ridder, benefiting from the bye week.
Some of them, they happened a little bit by because of circumstances, you know, things that went on. Certainly coming out of the second half of that Tennessee game and just kind of seeing where everything we're at. That's why a lot of it's not just one thing. He's done a lot of good things. I think clearly you could see when everybody that was there watched Arizona how prepared he was and played very confident. Like I said, he wanted the ball in his hands, and we've got a lot of confidence in Dez going forward. But really for all of us, you know, wherever the bye falls and just the timing in our season, I think it's been very beneficial to all of us.
Well, you know, Ryan Nelson was hired away from the New Orleans Saints. He was their defensive coordinator, had been there since 2017. So we wanted to know from Coach Smith if there was any advantage of having Coach Nelson on the staff before facing the Saints.
Well, I'm sure that, you know, as every team that tweets a few things, and, you know, there's probably a little bit of different philosophies you go on year to year, or maybe they've evolved to, and there's some major things that there's, you see, I mean, you're going to see it on film, just like they see it from us. I mean, they know anytime you, the longer you're in a division, you get to know each other pretty well. Yeah, it could be a plus, but they also, you got to respect and understand that they're going to change as well.
Now, you know, if you've been around for a while, you know that Taysom Hill's a Falcon killer. He even beat him playing quarterback 1 year the whole time. But he's comes in, they do a little, they might do a direct snap to him. They might put two backs alongside the quarterback and run a power sweep with him. They'll throw some passes with him. I got his stats. We'll go over those in the second half of the show. But here's what Arthur Smith had to say about defending Taysom Hill.
He can do a lot back there. I mean, I think, he can certainly push the ball on the field. If they want to get him in the play-action game, they got the direct run package. I mean, it's amazing how all our brains work, because I can think of all the bad plays against, you know, good for him, but bad against us. So, and he's done that a lot, and he's a very unique player. There's a lot of teams that have tried to copy that spot, and there's really only been one guy that's done it like he has in recent memory. But I'm sure if there's something that gives him advantage, whether it's play action or, you know, getting him on the edge, I'm sure they'll have it dialed up.
Well, the Falcons are going to be ready for him. They're going to have a plan. They got to recognize when he comes in the game. I think Caden Ellis will help with that, you know, and Nate Landman would help. I think those two guys would be the main people to spy him and go attack him, because when he's in the game, he gets the ball. So you shouldn't just treat him as a decoy. Now, Desmond Ridder, you know, we had to go up to him in the locker room. We were like, hey, you know, it's breaking news. We need a couple of questions if you can, because he's the once a week guy that speaks on Wednesday. And so he was gracious enough to take three questions on Monday. And we got a couple other responses here, and we'll get to them tomorrow for a full interview and another story on, hey, what was it like watching from the sidelines, if he'll share and go into detail on that, and how he wants to come back and take over the team and, you know, do what he can here in this 7-game stretch. Here's Desmond Ridder on being named the starter for this week.
That's my job. My job is to be a starting quarterback in this league. And so, you know, every day I come in here, and everyone, no matter quarterback, running back, doesn't matter your position, it wants to be that starter. So it just so happens that in our position, there's only one guy that can be a starter. And, you know, that's my job. So I got to take it and run with it.
And we touched on it a little bit here, you know, in the quick interview for the breaking news stories we had to do. And here's what Desmond had to say about what he learned from being benched.
Yeah, I mean, you get a different perspective of not only yourself, but, you know, as the offense as a whole. You know, sometimes I feel like, you know, whether it's practice or whatever, you know, we lacked energy, so we got to keep energy up and practice energy up all throughout the game. And then looking at myself, you know, there's a lot of things that I could have went back and done better. Obviously, you know, could have protected the ball, but there's a lot of situations that could have led you to not get in those situations, whether it's footwork, whether it's your reads, whether it's your progression, it doesn't matter. So just finding little ways to get better. And then ultimately, at the end of the day, just staying calm back there, trusting your reads, trusting what you see, and, you know, that's going to make your play.
All right, wide receiver Drake London. He's the team leader in receptions and targets, 59 to 58 over Kyle Pitts. And here's what Drake London had to say on if Ridder starting affects him in his preparation.
It doesn't really affect me at all. This is just me. I grew up like this. I don't really care who's throwing me the ball as long as it gets there. I think that's why I'm here, throw it in my vicinity, and I'm going to go up and get it. So I don't really care too much. I mean, obviously, Des is my boy and stuff like that. I'm happy for him. So we're just trying to get the ball rolling and get back to where we was.
Yeah, there's a lot of cross pollination here, Falcons and Saints. And yeah, matter of fact, I got to go on Bobby Hebert's show tonight and chop it up with him, good old time Falcons Saints quarterback. So that'll be interesting. But another gentleman, David Alumata, he discusses about facing his own team, his old team. He's a former Saint also, came over here in free agency, and here's what he had to say about the Saints.
I don't intend to think too much about it. Yeah, I've always had the same mindset. It's just going into every game with the same intent, you know, with the same mindset. So regardless of the opponent, it's another Sunday, basically.
Falcons right guard Chris Lindstrom, he'll take his information from wherever he can get it. And he knows that he can get some insight from Coach Nielsen and Oyemata about the Saints defense.
There's a lot of things that are the same, but then a lot of things, you know, definitely a lot of things change. You know, for us, just going through it, it's kind of funny. Just a lot of their interior D linemen changed. I mean, you know, we have David and Contavious, and I know Shai went to Carolina, but, you know, their style of play is the exact same. And those guys are a really talented front, been one of the best defenses. I know Cam leads them up front, and, you know, and DeMario is probably one of the best linebackers in the league for a long time. And so, we definitely got a challenge ahead of us.
Outside linebacker Bud Dupree, he knows that the defense has to, he said, return to that savage mode. They haven't been in that savage mode in the last three games. And here's what Bud had to say on the defensive goals for the second half of the season.
No, man, just bring the savage back out, man. Bringing the helmet back out, making sure everyone out here, you know, playing like dogs, playing like savages. Each person beside you, you got to be wanting to be better than the person on the field with you. So, you know, collectively as a unit, you know, if we all want to be great across the board, that's only going to make us play better, feed off each other's energy. You know is what about what we do and not what a person across us does. And the team described that way.
This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
All right, we're back here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, and we're going to finish up with our tail of the tape and a few stats. You know, I hope I don't give short shrift to the defense, but, you know, we know it's DeMario Davis over there and Cam Jordan. Those are two guys you want to make sure you get handled over there, or if you don't, it's going to be a long day. Marshawn Lattimore is on that side of the ball too, and we'll get to the defense and the tail of the tape and the offense as we wrap up here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. But first, let me get to this opportunity that we have for you. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution has a special offer for our podcast listeners. If you subscribe today, you can get 3 months of unlimited digital access for just 99 cents. That's all of our sports coverage, politics, breaking news, investigations, food and dining, and so much more on AJC.com. Plus, you get access to our e-paper and our assortment of newsletters. So join our community by going to subscribe.AJC.com/podcast. That's subscribe.AJC.com/podcast. So you always know what's really going on. All right, we're going to get moving here on our statistical analysis tail of the tape. Here, these two teams are pretty much identical, one game apart. Same deal. Both started 2-0 and then have been kind of flopping around here, you know, trying to get on a roll. Whoever gets hot here, wins 3 or 4 in a row, is going to probably win the division. But no, neither one of them has given signs that they can do that. Both teams are flawed and have some issues, and let's go over those. The Saints, offensively, they can throw the ball and not so much running the ball. They are 12th in passing, 237.4, and 22nd against running the ball, 100.0, and 13th overall at 337.4, and 18th in points scored, 21.4. So they're in the bottom half of the league in running and scoring. Just like the Falcons, they're in the bottom half of the league in passing and scoring. So, you know, you got a team that could throw it a little bit with Derek Carr if he's available. We'll get into that a little later. He's in a concussion protocol. The Falcons got to prepare for him, Jameis Winston, or Tyson Hill in a, you know, expanded role, or maybe in a quarterback role. They've done that. Sean Payton's done it in the past. I don't think Dennis Allen will do that, as Winston has played in 4 games this year. So offensively, that's what we're looking at firepower-wise. Both teams will try to run the ball and take time off the clock. They are in the top half of the league in TOP, time of possession. Saints 31 and 8, 31 minutes and 8 seconds. That's 10th. The Falcons are 30 minutes and 29 seconds. That's 13th. So, you know, now what we do is look at the Saints offense against the Falcons defense, which, you know, is pretty solid except for the points. That's the only thing that's outside of the top, bottom half of the league. So 308.8, they're giving up 108.4, and then rushing and passing 200.4. So, you know, when I did the midseason breakdown, we could tell the numbers. Teams are targeting Richie Grant and the linebackers in the pass game. That's where they've had the most success. And the Saints certainly have people they could get the ball to. Alvin Kamara, Chris Olave. We don't know what Michael Thomas's status is going to be, although he suffered a injury in the last game against the Vikings, and he's going to be out, but we don't know if it's IR or not. So they can attack the Falcons, and they got tight ends, so that'll be what to look for is how they go at the linebackers and Richie, and if the Falcons could get some kind of pass rush, whether it's Jameis, Carr, or Hill. Now, offensively for the Falcons, the Saints have the Saints defense will be the best unit on the field, might be the best unit in the whole division, led by DeMario Davis and Cam Jordan. They are 8th in yards. They are top 10, giving up 312.7 a game, and they are in the bottom half of the league against the run. So if you could run it on them, you might be able to make some hay here. They are giving up 113.6, and that's 20th in the league. But pass defense, they're 199.1, but if Lattimore's out, that's out the window. And they're giving up 19.8 points a game. So that's eight points. That's 8. That's in the top 10, too. So what matches up well here is the Falcons' run offense. At 7th in the league, going against the 20th ranked run defense. So that's their advantage. So the game plan is simple. Run the ball on the Saints. Play keep away. Score points. That's not going to be real hard. Now, but what the Saints do exceptionally well is they take the ball away. And, you know, so that negates the fact that they're not scoring a lot of points because they're getting the ball back and keeping possessions alive. They are tied for 5th in the league with a +6 turnover takeaway differential. And that's 12 interceptions and 6 forced fumbles. So that's getting it done at a really high clip. And, of course, we know the Falcons' whole thing is they're -6. They're 26 in the league. They give you the ball. So that's the other thing here. Falcons got to run the ball, score, and not turn it over to the Saints. That's their formula for success. The Saints' formula for success, hey, is throw it, and score points, of course, and, you know, then have that defense take the ball away. So those will be some of the issues based on our statistical analysis, tale of the tape. This will be the 108th regular season meeting. Somebody came at me on Twitter about the series being tied 54-54. That is correct when you count the playoff win. But when we do the series history, we do regular season records. So it's 54-53. Saints lead. The Falcons have lost the last three meetings and six of the last seven. So you can look at that a couple different ways. They're going to get pounded again, or it's time. The Falcons are due. Now, we mentioned Derek Carr signed with the Saints over the offseason in March. They, decided to go with a proven veteran. He's 32, been in the league. I looked it up. Was it 12? But, yeah, been in the league with the Raiders. This is his first year. He was back all the way when Allen was the coach of the Raiders. So they're reuniting in New Orleans. And thus far, and he got knocked out of the Vikings game and is still in concussion protocol. So sometime they get cleared, sometime they don't. They had an extra bye week, too. So we'll see on Wednesday where he's at on the injury report. But Derek Carr has completed 224 attempts for 2,231 yards. That percentage is 65.9%. He has 10 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. So that's the 2-to-1 ratio. That's pro quarterback in there. He's got an 89.8 passer rating. You know, not great, but pro level quarterback. And, you know, that's been a problem for the Falcons. So injury wise, Carr's in concussion protocol, concussion shoulder. Lattimore has an ankle, and I think Michael Thomas has a knee. And coach said they'll miss time, but wouldn't say on Monday whether they were going to IR or not. So those are all big names for the Saints. You know, we'll update you on the week who's filling in at cornerback down there. At quarterback, it's Jameis is the one who went in for Carr in the Minnesota game, and he was 13-25 for 122 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. You know, that's how Jameis rolls. And just looking at Carr against the Falcons in the past, can't tell too much. Those rare teams are so bad. The Falcons blasted him. Well, this wasn't a blast. 35-28 and since 2016 and 43-6. That was blast. They got blasted in 2020, November 29th, 43-6. So he's 0-2 against the Falcons. But you know, that dysfunction in Oakland and now Vegas is real. And so Jameis has played in Winston, the former Bucks quarterback, started for 5 years down there. They decided to let him roll. And, you know, as far as the backup goes, it's pretty good to be able to go to a former number one. But, yeah, he just has had the interceptions over his career. And in his limited action this year, he's 23-42, 54.8% for 223 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. And why he's a backup right now is this, because he continues to not take care of the ball. 141 touchdown passes, but 99 interceptions. So that's supposed to be a 2-to-1 ratio. It should be something like 70. 140 and 70 would be pro quarterback play. And, you know, Taysom Hill, you got to give him credit. He's stuck around. The Saints have done a good job. A lot of teams have tried to copy this and haven't been able to do it. But so far, he's run the ball, he's caught the ball, and he's thrown the ball this year for the Saints. Rushing, he's got 50 rushes for 261 yards. He's caught 22 passes, so you can't, like, disregard him because he'll catch a short check down. He runs hard, and so you better lay him out, too. You better tackle because he'll run right over you. And 1 touchdown and 5 of 6 passes for 72 yards and a touchdown. So that's your Saints tale of the tape. You know, offensively, it's hard to tell what they're going to try to do. But, you know, they got Kamara, they got Olave, got weapons. so they can attack your weaknesses with those weapons. And then the Falcons got to come with a tighter plan, a more polished operation on offense with Ridder back at the control. I mean, you know, they got to run the ball, got to block Cam Jordan and DeMario Davis. Don't let them wreck the game. And so, you know, you got to run it and then throw off of the run when you get the opportunity. Take some shots when you have the chance. But, yeah, they got to kind of establish some kind of identity here down the stretch. You know, they got to get the win over the Saints to move in the first place. And then maybe, you know, you can start seriously talking about, you know, some of the division things. I mean, technically they're in the race. They haven't played like a playoff team. They haven't played like a team that's going to take off and win 5 games or get to 10 wins or get to 11. You know, they dropped the last 3, looked pretty bad doing it. Break came at a good time for them and they could hit the reset button. But no, they got to pull some things together here, and they've got to start on Sunday against the Saints. We're going to really take, you know, if they're really going to make some strides this year, we should start to see that on Sunday. And if we don't, that's going to be cause for alarm, because they're going to throw everything at this game. They're going to throw everything at the Saints. They don't care that Derek Carr might not be playing. They don't care that Marshawn Lynch might not be playing. They don't care that Michael Thomas is going to be out. They got to get a win. They got to stop the bleeding and get their little ship turned around here in 2023. So with that, we're going to get on out of here. We, you know, thanks to the coach and Ridder, Drake London, Chris Lindstrom, Bud Dupree, and David Oyumata for coming by the Bowtie Chronicles podcast and helping us preview this upcoming game between the Atlanta Falcons and the New Orleans Saints. So with that, hey, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I hope you all enjoy your Thanksgiving and a lot of football to watch. And congratulations to my Howard Bison, who won the MEAC and will be coming to Atlanta for the Celebration Bowl. Congratulations, Coach Scott. And I think he's going to have Kyle Pitts talk to the team again. That worked out pretty good last time. So take care and have a great rest of your week.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut, are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.
Hip-hop is a product of black people. It's a product of black song and celebration.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution presents
hip-hop's most pulled elements are pulled from the South.
A Southern hip-hop story.
We always go back to that moment of the Source Awards.
Everybody wants your rhythm, but they don't want your blues.
The biggest names in hip-hop.
Atlanta is still the mecca for hip-hop.
50 years.
No one can deny.
One film.
The power of the South now.
The South got something to say. Streaming now at AJC.com/hip-hop.